Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along this while you're turning there, I'd like to just say welcome, as we do every Sunday, to so many of our members, but also several visitors, and we're thankful that you are glad with us, that you are with us. We're glad that you are with us. That's what happens when your mind is thinking about three or four different things at the same time. Now, about those three or four different things, I was asked to talk about a couple things before we start this morning. But first, I want to remind us of a story in the Bible, and that's Moses. Many of you remember Moses ran away from Egypt after he had killed somebody, and he had feared for his life, and he ran to Midian, and he lived there. And God came to Moses in a burning bush and asked him to go back to Egypt, remember? And he said, I need you to go in front of Pharaoh, and I need you to tell Pharaoh about me. I need you to tell the children of Israel that you are there to take them to the promised land. And if you remember what Moses' reaction was he didn't want to go. And not only did he not want to go, he had a whole lot of excuses. It would help if I turn this on. They're motioning to me in the back. He had a whole lot of excuses as to why he didn't want to go. He says he's not a good speaker. He says he doesn't know what he's going to say when he gets there. He says, can you send somebody else? Can you send my brother? There's so many different things that Moses was saying that for the reasons why he didn't want to go. And God basically told him, I don't care what your excuses are. You're going to go. You're the guy I chose. Now get going. About every 3 months, the elders get up and they're asked to make these announcements by the deacons. And that is, we are looking for teachers. For the last couple of weeks, we have been looking for teachers, and the deacons go back there to see who has signed up to teach the next round of kids, and no names have been added to the list. And so, just like Moses, I don't know what the excuses are, but it's time we say, we just need you to go. There's always something to hold us back. You know, we're not asking you to go in front of Pharaoh. We're just asking you to go in front of these small kids and teach them about the Bible. So if you can do that, please sign up in the back. We shouldn't have to ask every 3 months to do that. In fact, the whole year is ready to be signed up for back there. So if you can do that, please, if you are capable of teaching, which most of us, if not all of us are, we can go teach these young kids. I know they might be looking for some adults too here in the next couple weeks as well. So just like Moses, no excuses, just go. And we all know how that worked out for him. So who knows what will happen to you in teaching those kids. I'm sure you will be touched doing it. Two more things before we get into our lesson this morning. We just came off a great week with Buddy Payne. Dr. Buddy Payne was here. He preached to us last week, did our Bible class on Wednesday night and Sunday night. But also we were in the community on Monday night and Tuesday night. And he has done these things for years and years and years. He has gone all over the world, all over this country, talking about evidences for God and the science behind our bodies and the universe that we live in. And he said something in passing on Tuesday night after people were leaving and it was just him and I. We were walking out the doors. He said, this is one of the best presentations that I've ever been a part of. He said, your congregation should be proud. So if you were involved in that in any way, if you were just some of the people that handed out some of the flyers, if you were the volunteers that helped that night, if you came and just participated, pat yourself on the back. That is, I think, high praise coming from somebody who has done this for years and years and years and has gone all over the world. It shows the hard work that went into it. Thank you all. That was a huge, huge opportunity to evangelize and to reach out to people who had no idea who God was. In fact, we know of several who were there who were questioning God or just wanted to learn more about Him, who weren't quite sure about Him. And they were there, and they left, I think, having lots of questions answered. They left being very excited, and we are hoping to follow up with some of them. So that's just an encouragement to this congregation and the work that went into that. Along with that, 2 weeks ago, we preached on kindness. And a lot of you were given those cards on kindness and the random act of kindness. And we asked you to go use those cards and just do something nice for somebody. I can't tell you how many good things that we have heard so far. Brooke made some cookies for some of Landon's people at school. I want to tell you something that the vice principal said as we saw him later in the week. He said, you know, I didn't even know Marion Street Church of Christ. He said, but thank you so much. And he was just amazed that we as a congregation would even do something like this. And that goes to show, and I'm sure many of you had that same experience. We had no idea the church was even there, or I didn't even know about Bering Street Church of Christ. And I think what we saw over these last couple weeks with our Random Act of Kindness Sunday, with what we did last week with Buddy Payne and getting out into the community, I hope what was done is the light of Christ was taken to the community. And I think it was. And anyone that actually used those cards and went and did something like that or helped us with that community event this past week, you should be encouraged. Because not just Marion Street Church of Christ, but the church is letting its light shine. And that's what we want to do. And that's what led us to our lesson this morning. It wasn't until I moved here where I realized there were actual seasons. I always read about and heard about them in kindergarten and growing up, about things like winter and fall. Never quite experienced them until I moved here. That trees actually do let their leaves fall. That's why it's called fall. In California, we just dipped down to about 68, and we thought, whoa, winter's here, right? A little different out here. There are different planting times. There are different harvest times. And when Brooke and I moved here, we thought, let's plant a little vegetable garden in our backyard. And so we did. What I didn't realize was that there are certain times to plant certain vegetables and different fruits. But then you take it a step further, and there are also different times to harvest the different vegetables and the different fruits. There are some things you want to leave on the vine or leave on the plant until they are ripe and ready to eat, and you can just pluck it right off and eat it right there. There are things that you want to take off the plant before they're ripe, and you let them ripen off the vine or off the plant. There are things that you want to plant in spring to harvest in summer, and plant in summer to harvest in fall. Boy, I had no idea, because I was still getting used to what a fall was. We ruined a lot of fruits and vegetables those first couple years, because I just had no idea. I had no idea what was ready, when it would be ready, no idea when to plant. Unfortunately, with our Christianity and with our spiritual lives, I think we have adopted that same mindset. And that is, you look out in the community. You look out, and as Christ calls them in so many of his parables, the fields that are being planted each and every day. You look at the seeds that are growing, and really what those are the hearts of the people that are in this world, right? We know maybe you've heard of the story of the four soils, where seed was planted on four different kinds of ground. There was the wayside, and there was the ground with stones in it. There was the ground that was good ground, but also had some tares in it or some weeds in it. And then there was the good soil with none of that. And Jesus says the seed that was planted was the Word of God, and the plants that sprung up were the people's hearts and how they received the Word of God. And you look out in the world and you see that all over the place. Everywhere we go, every person we come in contact with, it could be in the morning as you're getting your bagel and your cup of coffee. It could be at school when you drop your kids off in car line, or at work when you get there in the morning and you see the janitor and the boss and the person sharing the cubicle next to you. It could be your waiter when you go out to dinner with your family. Everywhere we go, we are presented with seeds, with hearts that may or may not be ready to hear the gospel. And yet when we're out there, we do something in our minds. We start judging whether or not somebody is ready. How many times have we done that to say, I know I need to share the gospel. I know I need to get out and evangelize and outreach. Yet the people I come in contact with, they aren't ready to hear what I have to say. Maybe their family situation is not quite what it needs to be in order for them to become Christians. Maybe I know they're living in sin, and when I start talking about Jesus and God, they don't want to hear what I have to say, so I don't want to teach them, because I know that they probably won't like what I have to say anyways. Or, hey, this would be a great candidate to hear the gospel and to invite to church or invite to a Bible study. But I'm worried about the rejection that might come. I don't want to jeopardize the relationships that I have. And so we keep our mouths closed. And so we do something in our minds where we start telling ourselves, that the harvest that is out there, the seeds that are out there that are being planted with the Word of God, they're not quite ready yet. And yet Jesus reminds us very clearly that that is just not the case. In Luke chapter 10, Christopher read it for us just a few moments ago, but in Luke chapter 10, we read these verses, just the first couple verses here in this chapter. It says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, 'The harvest is truly great.'" Some of your versions will say, "The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lamb among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, they receive you. Eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust on your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." First, I want to give just a little background about what we just read. If we go back one chapter in Luke chapter 9, do you remember what is talked about there? I've preached on these verses several times. You've read them several times. But starting in verse 57 of Luke chapter 9, you might get a title. I know a lot of our English versions like to put titles above these different sections. But you might get something like this: true discipleship. Or something that says like the cost of discipleship. And you remember there's three instances there where Jesus is asking, or some people asking, to follow Jesus. There's the person who as they journeyed down the road told Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you." And Jesus says, "Well, foxes have holes, birds have of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus then looks at someone else and says, "Follow me." But remember, the person says, "First, let me go and bury my father." And Jesus tells them, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And then a third person, Jesus says, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." And Jesus again has to tell them, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And what Jesus is doing there is he has three instances of people who are willing to follow Jesus, who want to follow Jesus, yet are so distracted by everything else going on around them that their true discipleship was put into question. If you want to follow me, understand that you're not going to have a place to lay down your head at night. It's going to be a hard and difficult journey. If you want to follow me, you're going to have to put the kingdom of God before everything else. Let the dead bury their own dead. If you want to follow me, don't look back to what life could have been like, but you look forward to the kingdom of God. And so he talks about these, what true discipleship looks like and what the cost of discipleship looks like. But then he gets into, immediately it says, after saying these things, or after these things, the Lord took 70 people, 70 followers, 70 disciples, and he was going to put their discipleship to the test. You can almost see Jesus saying, "Okay, you want to follow me? I need 70 volunteers. I need 70 of you. And you're going to go out into pairs. And you're going to go from city to city. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be teaching. And when you enter into a city, if they greet you, you stay in that house. And you teach from that house. You stay in one spot, and I want you to teach the kingdom of God. And if they receive you, great. If not, wipe the dust from your sandals. In other words, move on. Keep going. Go to people who are ready to listen. But Jesus starts that whole section by trying to get His disciples to understand one thing. And that is, when you look out at the world and when you look at the places that they were going to go, and they were going to go city to city, town to town, when you look out at the people that this world consisted of, Jesus made sure His disciples understood the harvest is ready. The harvest is great. There are a lot of people who are ready to hear the gospel. There are a lot of people who need to hear about the kingdom of God. And yes, there will be people who don't want to hear about it. There will be people who hear about the kingdom of God, who hear about the Bible, who hear the name God, and want to turn their face away from it. And they're going to think we're strange for believing in a higher power named God. And as we looked at this past week with Buddy Payne, they can look at the same evidence. In fact, Buddy Payne even said this. They can look at the very same evidence and come to very different conclusions than you and I. And they think we are weird for believing that God put DNA inside of us, or that God made a finely tuned universe, as we looked at on Monday and Tuesday night. There will be people who want no part in the gospel that we are preaching. And because of that, because we have been told that maybe religion is the minority, it's starting to become the minority, that more people believe in science than religion, that God might be a made-up fairy tale character, what we have done as the laborers, as the disciples, as we looked at in Luke chapter 9, is we have convinced ourselves that people don't want to hear this message, that people do think we're crazy for believing what we believe in. And so what we have done is, we have totally cut off the relationship. Well, then we won't teach. In fact, what we have done as religious brethren, and I'm not talking about Marion Street Church of Christ, I'm not talking about the Church of Christ in general. This goes throughout lots of religion of Christianity. What we have done is we have made ourselves very comfortable sitting right where we are today. Because it's easy to come here and sit in a nice heated or air-conditioned room, depending on the time of the year. It's easy sitting in a very comfortable pew, looking at a nice screen while we sing our songs and listen to the sermon. It's easy opening our Bibles when other people have their Bibles open on their laps. So we have made ourselves very comfortable right here. The problem that Jesus saw back then, and it's the same problem that I believe is still here today, it's not that the harvest isn't ready to hear about God. In fact, Jesus could look out at the people and say, they're ready. They need this. Yes, there will be people that don't want this. So knock the dust off your sandals and get going to the next place. But what's more important is not that they're not ready, it's just that the laborers are few. The people who call themselves disciples, followers of Jesus, they're the ones, we're the ones that aren't ready. Why? Because we're comfortable here. And boy, stepping out of this pew and stepping out those doors and actually talking to somebody about God, well, whew, that's a hard thing to do. And it is. Trust me. But did you notice where Jesus put the pressure? It wasn't on the harvest. It wasn't on the people. It was on the people that were supposed to go out and actually do the teaching. He says, I need laborers. I need disciples who are not only willing to listen to what I have to say, but who are willing to go out into the harvest and teach and share the good news of the gospel. In fact, that's what he said. He said, let's pray to the Father or to the God of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into His harvest. So that we don't need to pray for the harvest out there. They're ready. we're not. Because maybe I don't want to be shut down. I don't want someone to tell me no. I don't want to look weird for believing in a God or a Christ when they don't believe in it. I don't want to talk to someone about religious things lest we ruin a relationship. Can I say that there will be no relationship if one's in heaven and one's in hell? If we're that concerned about our relationships with the people of this world, then we should teach them the gospel so we can have eternal relationships. One person put it this way, and this helped me see it in a completely different light, that if you connect the dots from Luke chapter 9 to Luke chapter 10 about what true discipleship looks like, he says this: true discipleship is not just someone who is willing to follow Jesus, but someone who is willing to help other people follow Jesus too. And did you notice in Luke chapter 9 when he was talking about what discipleship was? In verse 59, it says, he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus responded to him in verse 60, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God." In fact, what we see, Jesus' definition of "follow me," being a disciple, was someone who was willing to go and preach and teach the kingdom of God. Not just be a comfortable follower at a safe distance behind Jesus. Isn't that what he told some of his very first disciples he called when he saw Peter, Andrew, James, and John all fishing? "Follow me. I will make you fishers of men." He made it very clear what he expected out of his laborers from the very beginning. We're going to get outside our comfort zones. We're going to go out into the harvest, and we are going to catch some fish. If I can cross some analogies there. That's what Jesus expects of us. We have gotten so comfortable in our discipleship that we forget one of our primary commands from Matthew 28 is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What Jesus has done is he's called out the laborers. He has called out you and I, his disciples. Those of us who have said, "We want to follow you." Those of us who have given our lives to following him. Those of us who have been washed in the waters of baptism and said, "I want to give my life to Christ." He's now asking us as laborers to go out into the harvest and do the work that is necessary to teach the kingdom of God. I want to share with you just three or four things what God needs from every single one of us. And then the lesson will be yours. When I read these verses in Luke chapter 10, I see a couple things. One is that God needs laborers who are passionate about making disciples. This means that we have a genuine love for all people. A genuine love for the harvest that is out there. He says, "The harvest is ready. Go and teach the people. Go and be in the cities. Go and stay in their homes. Go and eat the food that they put in front of you," he's saying. Go and teach. Have a passionate, be passionate about actually spreading the gospel. We come in contact with so many different people. I mentioned just a moment ago. Think about it for just a moment. And everyone is so different, but think about just a moment all the people you come in contact with on a daily basis. Some of us, it's hard. I always joke around. I work by myself here at the building. There was a Bailey's Pest Control guy here on Friday, so I missed an opportunity there. Most of the time, I'm just sitting here at the building, but man, that's no excuse. I take Landon to school every morning. There's people in car line that I could talk to. Brooke and I go out to eat quite a bit, and there's people we could talk to. You go to the post office, there's people you can talk to. We all get, well, maybe not all. Most of us get our hair cut, right? I won't look at certain people. Every day there's people that are there, that are part of the harvest, Are we passionate about making them disciples too? Not just being a disciple of Christ, but making them disciples of Christ too. Are we passionate about telling them about what Jesus can do for them? I mean, do you remember how you felt when you rose up out of that water and you realized your sins have been washed away? I always tell people, every time we're back here, they come up out of the water, I say, this is the best feeling you will ever feel in your life, to know that you are clean. Do you remember feeling that feeling for the very first time? And yet, we're willing to hold that back from the people we see every day and care about the most in this world? Because we're worried about what they might think of us. We're worried about how they might treat us afterwards. Listen, I'm just as guilty because I see people every day and never bring up the gospel of Christ. And there are right and wrong ways to do this, and we have plans in the future to have some classes on how to interact with people about and trying to teach them the gospel of Christ. But the point is, they're out there. We just need to get over the hump and we need to get to work. I don't think it's any coincidence that soon after Jesus speaks these things, the 70 return in verse 17. They tell about what they have found. It says they came back. They were excited about what they could do and who they were able to talk to. It says in verse 25, that's when we get the parable of the Good Samaritan. I don't think it's a coincidence that story is put at the end of this chapter. Because if we are going to make disciples, we are going to have a genuine passion and a genuine love for other people, making them followers of Christ too. God needs laborers who will actually work. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And while you're turning there, it kind of reminds me of what God had to do with Moses. There's no doubt that that Moses loved God, that Moses knew who God was, but yet when the real work was about to come, Moses tried to make every excuse to get out of it. And God made it very clear to Moses at that moment that there are no excuses. You will go in front of Pharaoh and you will tell him to let my people go. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, it says this: "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I want you to think about what it says there in verse 16 for just a moment. Redeeming the time. Think about work. When you go into work, you are giving up your time, but in return for your time and your work, for whatever company you work for, they are going to pay you for it. And boy, you expect to get paid for the time that you put in. And if you work over, it's called overtime. And typically, not always, but typically, companies will pay extra for overtime. And so we should be, while we're working for other people, redeeming the time wisely. That means we're working when we're at work. It's a novel concept, I know. I mean, think about it here. If I, as the minister here, as the preacher here, I try to hold some sort of office hours. I know different things come up. I'm not always in the office at different times because it just different situations or different classes or hospital visits, whatever it is. But if I spend all my time here at work, on Facebook, or doing nothing, and I'm not writing sermons, I'm not writing Bible classes, I'm not getting ready for Sunday or for Wednesday, and I come on a Sunday morning, and it's very evident and clear that I did not prepare, and I did not do the work that was asked of me, what do you think our four elders would do that Sunday after services? They'd pull me downstairs, and they would say, "What have you been doing all week? We expect better. And if it doesn't get better, it might be time to start packing up those books in your office." But yet here we are spiritually. God has given us this time. He's given us this moment here. How are we redeeming it? Are we going into the fields and are we working? Are we going into the harvest, spreading the news of the gospel? Or are we making every excuse like Moses did why we can't go? Well, because there's better people to teach. I'm not a teacher, we might say. I don't know how to evangelize. I don't know how to outreach. And that's just a bunch of baloney right there, because every time you reach out to somebody, every time we come in contact with somebody, we're outreaching. It's just a matter of what we're willing to give them. God has given us the time here on this earth. What He needs are laborers and workers who will actually work and redeem the time that they have been given. To work wholeheartedly. That in everything we do it as if we're doing it for the Lord. God also needs laborers who understand the dangers of the job. By simply obeying Christ and becoming believers in Christ and having your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, Jesus tells us this is not going to be an easy journey. Jesus tells us that there are going to be things that if the world hates us, remember, they hated me first, is what He told His apostles in the book of John. But Jesus does say there are dangers of the job. There are dangers in going out into the harvest. And He makes it very clear in Luke chapter 10 and verse 3 that He's sending them out as sheep or as lambs among wolves. He says, I'm expecting you to go out there into the harvest. I'm expecting you to teach. I'm expecting you to go to these cities and to these people, and you are going to be like lamb among wolves. If we're not careful, they can tear us apart. And we could choose to be afraid. We could choose to tuck our tail between our legs and run the other way. Can I tell you something about sheep? Sheep love to butt heads. Have you ever seen that before? They rear back and they'll butt heads. They'll rant. A lot of rams do it as well, but sheep will, that's their main line of defense. They'll run. And boy, there's times you don't want to mess with a sheep. We look at these sheep and, you know, we see these little cute little things. White, fluffy. Boy, you mess with a sheep the wrong way, they can be pretty feisty. Yeah, we're out there. We're lambs among wolves. But with the power of the gospel and the message that we're trying to spread this world, it's time we just put our heads down and we go into this world and we show them who we are. We show them who our God is and we show them what the gospel is all about. It is life-changing. It is life-defining. Yes, there will be people, as it says, who don't want to hear the message. He says if there's ever a city that you enter and they do not receive you, in Luke 10, verse 10, go out onto the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. There's going to be people who reject us. There's going to be people who think we're weird, who think we're strange. There are going to be times when we spread the gospel, people want no part in what we're doing. In fact, we saw this these last couple weeks when we were advertising for our event with Buddy Payne. We put lots of messages across Facebook. We paid money to advertise on Facebook, and that meant it was going to go throughout this whole area, Florence, Athens, Madison, Huntsville. And it was put in people's news feeds on social media. That means we were going to hit some people who already believed in God, but it also meant we were going to hit people who wanted nothing to do with God. And there were several people who were upset that we would use a public school. How dare us use a public school to teach about God? There were several people who said, I would in no way or shape or form take part in this because of the bigotry that was going to be attached to it. There are people in this world that when you say the name God, they automatically label you. That's fine. There will be people who don't want to hear what we have to say. There are some people that are part of this harvest who have already been swallowed up and choked out by the thorns. There are dangers with this job. There are hardships with this job. But when you understand that the kingdom is near, it makes the job worth it. when we understand what it is we're preaching, and that is Jesus, who was here on earth already, is coming back again. And He's the only way to spend eternal life with God, as He says in John chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me. No one comes to the Father except through me. When we understand that He says three times at the end of the book of Revelation, behold, I am coming quickly. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom is here already. That is the church. We're going to talk about that tonight in our Bible class. But the kingdom of heaven is very near. That is, Jesus is coming back quickly. And those who have been buried in the waters of baptism, those who have lived in a life of obedience to Jesus, those who have heard the gospel and responded to the gospel, when Jesus comes back, they will get to spend eternity in heaven together with our God and our Father. When we understand that, it makes the dangers of the job worth it. Because not only are we out there laboring in the harvest, but we are out there asking people to come and join us for the journey. We are asking people to come and give their lives to Christ so that when the kingdom of heaven does come, they'll get to enjoy eternity as well. When Brooke and I moved here, I had no idea what I was doing. In regards to planting, and not just planting, but harvesting, ruined a whole bunch of tomatoes. Left them on too long, birds started to get to them, bugs. Completely forgot about sweet potatoes at some point. Good thing those are hard enough. I was able to get several buckets of sweet potatoes, but completely forgot about them. Brooke and I tried so many things. We tried squash. We tried whole rows of things like basil and cilantro and parsley, you know, all those kinds of ingredients. We just eventually chalked it up to it was a fun experience with the kids, but we weren't ever going to eat anything from our garden. The good news is Jesus has taken out all the guesswork for the harvest of this world. The only reason that the harvest is going to be ruined is because we didn't do our job to go out there and get it. Harvest is ready. What we saw this past week was for just as many people who were upset that we were teaching God in a public forum, there was just as many people who wanted to learn more about Him. We had an amazing outreach opportunity, and if you missed it, you missed a great week. Because we saw people genuinely there wanting to learn more about God. And that's up to us. It's up to us as a congregation, and it's up to us as individuals. That if we are truly looking to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, it doesn't just mean follow Jesus. It means go teach and preach the kingdom of God. And we have an opportunity every single day to do just that. I hope, just like Jesus said then, the laborers are few, but I hope we can pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers into His kingdom. We've got 175 laborers in this building. As we were looking to, a couple weeks ago, that Random Act of Kindness Sunday, Tammy Warner came up to me. They're the ones that printed the cards and got the cards ready to pass out. That's something that came from their service group. And she said, we had almost 500 cards passed out. Can you imagine? Over 500 people getting to learn about Jesus because these workers, these ones here in this building, took the time to go out and to let the light shine. Now, can you imagine if this week we do the same thing over again? And next week we go do it again. And the week after that, and the week after that. to where eventually it just becomes a daily thing. Every day we have 175. Last week it was 201. Every day we have workers going out into the kingdom, going out into the harvest, and simply teaching and letting their light shine. That's on every single one of us here this morning. So my message for you, the harvest is ready. Are we? There might be someone here that needs to obey the gospel. That you are part of the harvest. It's time to give your life to Him. You've learned about Christ. You believe in Christ, and it's now just time to obey Him. What He asked you to do was to confess that He is the Son of God and to be buried in the waters of baptism. And we can make that happen right here, right now, so that you can become a worker in His vineyard, in His kingdom. But I think more than that, there are several of us here this morning that just need to take a moment. We need to take a moment. We just need to reestablish where we are in His kingdom. That if we're comfortable here in this building, we're not doing our job. It's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to go out. It's time to rededicate ourselves to the Lord and His service. And if you need to do that, maybe that's just sitting there this for just a moment, saying a prayer to send out another laborer into the kingdom. Maybe it's coming forward and needing prayers to reestablish yourself, to confess sin. Whatever it is, it's time to step up. We can all do better, myself included. And it's time to go out into the harvest. Let's go make a difference in this community. If we can do anything for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.